Thanks for listening to the Best of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon on Fox Sports Radio.
Joining Mike and I now on the hotline, no one better. NFL on Fox insider extraordinaire Jay Glazer. Jay, what's happening, buddy? How you doing?
What's going on, boys?
Good, man. You're still doing the MVP sessions on Zoom. How's that going?
Yes, I am. Every Wednesday night, man. Well, in L.A., it's every Wednesday night. And New York City Wednesday night, 7 o'clock, both places. We have one in Atlanta on Tuesday, one in Chicago on Thursday, one in Vegas on Friday. So, man, we're cranking along. We're, we've always had to adapt and adjust to these Zoom meetings. And as things started opening up, I think our MVPs were hoping that we were going to open up. We decided to stay safer and smarter until we knew it was kind of safer to come out, because a lot of our members have young children, brand new babies, and a lot of them have, you know, pre-existing condition, Vietnam vets who were in our group as well. And so we decided to just kind of be a little cautious, and then obviously things started closing back up, so we just kept cranking along on Zoom. So if you're a combat vet or a pro athlete out there or looking for a new team and just looking for a bunch of badasses to empower other badasses to jump on board with us, go to vetsandplayers.org. We will welcome you with open arms.
And I know your teeth have to be doing better, at least during the Zoom lessons. You don't have to worry about Demi Lovato knocking any of them out. I think you probably got a big smile.
Well, that's unbreakable. So unbreakable, yeah. Obviously we've got shut down our gym, but we moved it all to the outside.
Yeah, so I saw that video. That was cool.
It's just outside. Yeah. We're still hitting each other. It's just outside.
Yeah, well, and now she's engaged. So, you know, you've got that flowing too.
Oh, my
positivity,
God. I'm so
man.
Proud of her. I'm so happy. I talked to her shortly after. I'm so proud of her. It's my little lioness, man. And it's, you know, 2 years ago is when she OD'd, and this is where, you know, you stick around in life, and people who are really, really going through right now, you never know what lies around next Tuesday. Something can happen in your life that could just change it on a fraction of a second, next week, tomorrow, next month, next year. But, you know, she found the man of her dreams, and I'm so proud of her.
You can check out all the good work Jay's doing. You go to vetsandplayers.org or the website at vetsandplayers or Unbreakable as well. Or check Jay's Twitter account for all the information on that, at Jay Glazer. So, Jay, now, as we talked about...
By the way, how about my life? Where did my life go from talking NFL to all of a sudden we're talking pop stars getting engaged? Like, man, I didn't see this one coming when I started becoming an insider.
Well, you're a Hall of Broadcasting Hall of Famer as well. You're hanging out with The Rock, and Terramonic Tequila is rolling all the time. I mean, you know.
Ass model.
I got the honesty.
Ass model,
good.
Yeah.
Yes, that's on my Instagram, correct.
you know, Jack, that's the thing. I don't know where my career path is going to take me, and I just sit here and say, okay, you know what? I didn't see that, but all right. It happens the way it does sometimes. That's how it goes.
You never know what lies around next Tuesday.
See what happened with baseball as they're dealing with the Marlins and their positive COVID-19 test. They're pausing for a week before they can restart the season. Any of this gonna get to the NFL as far as, okay, we need to change a little bit as far as what we're doing in our plan of attack in the season, what we're going to do if teams wind up testing positive and have to miss games and we have to postpone and figure things out that way?
So, I'm hoping they're discussing it. But, you know, kind of things in sports always wait to the last second. I wish they didn't, but they do. And you know, here's what I would do. Tell me if I'm crazy here, guys. It's my idea, okay? Because then this kind of makes it beholden on the players and to each other. Is you kind of look at it on the playoffs are based on how many wins you have, not your record. So, in other words, you know, if games have to get canceled, right, and look, you could have a team, let's say in the NFL, they're 9-2, and another team's 10-6 because the 9-2 team got a bunch of games canceled because they kept testing positive and guys kept leaving their own, you know, they weren't staying safe and they kept going out to clubs and, you know, they're going to strip clubs to eat food like we saw in the NBA. You know, it kind of makes guys more beholden to make sure you're safe because we don't want to make sure we forfeit the games because we can, you know, lose out in the playoffs. And then it could actually get other teams' players to start policing and saying, hey, man, make sure you guys are healthy so we don't lose out on this game. I don't know. It's just got to be some more – there's got to be accountability for each other to help make it through safer. So you guys tell me, is that a crazy idea? Am I out of my mind for this?
No, not at all.
No, I think it's I keep calling it a social contract. Once you've opted in, and obviously we had the news today of a number of players opting out, but once you've opted in, you've kind of decided, all right, for the next 6-7 months, my life has to be about football, and I've got to be beholden to the guys in the locker room, and that's it. So I can't go out. I can't be social, and I've got to mind my P's and Q's.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the thing. It's like you can't do it. It can't be a thing of, well, man, you know, we'll fine you if you don't do it. It's got to be them getting on each other. And there's got to be some ramifications. Otherwise, guys are just going to go live their lives because, especially when you're young, you feel like you're invincible. So they don't think. That's why we saw so many parties breaking out. And that's why all of a sudden, I'm assuming a lot of the numbers have gone higher. So, you know, there's got to be a way where guys in their locker room could police each other. They could make sure they're accountable to each other, beholden to each other. But like I said, if you all of a sudden have other teams that lose games because somebody on the other, a bunch of guys on the other team decide to go out to a club, they could then make sure that they talk to their friends. Man, make sure you guys are safe. We're playing you guys this week. You know what I mean? It's just, even though these guys are on other teams, they're all in this together. And that's how they have to look at it.
Jay, what do you make of the players? Like we saw Dante Hightower, Patrick Chung, Eddie Goldman, Devin Funchess all opt out of the season this year. What do you say? Is this the first of many? Is this something the NFL's got to deal with? What do you think it is?
Yeah, I think it's the first of many. I think there's a lot of guys who are going to go, especially if they, a lot of them have, there's pre-existing health conditions. There's, like I said, newborns in there, like we have an MVP. And if somebody decides to opt out because they feel that it's going to make them safe, they should not be shamed for it. This is what you're going to do that you think is right for you and your family. It should be applauded, not shamed. And, you know, they shouldn't have pressure because they're like, hey, man, I just want to make sure I'm safe. There's, you know, unfortunately, this virus doesn't discriminate. It has no rhyme or reason of who it's going to take down. It really doesn't. So as a result of that, and, you know, the information we've always gotten has been so incredibly inconsistent. Right, it's so much of this being used for politics on all sides, and it sucks. You know, we've all handled it wrong. And I wish that there was better information. I wish it was handled better from the start, but it's not. So as a result, guys have to, you know, make their own judgment based on what they feel, and whatever it is, they should be supported one way or the other. If somebody says, "Hey, man, I'm going for it," like Bruce Arians, he's decided, you know, he's going to go with a face shield and a mask and still coach out there, even with pre-existing conditions, that's his prerogative. But somebody else who is a young player who says, man, I have a newborn and I want to put them in harm's way, and that's what I feel will happen, then we got to support them also.
Our guy Jay Glazer with us now, the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon from the Geico Studios. Merging vets and players, the Unbreakable Performance Center, of course, Fox NFL Sunday, a broadcasting Hall of Famer, our guy, friend of the show, longtime friend of ours, Jay Glazer, at Jay Glazer on Twitter is where you find him. Joey Bosa is a lot richer, so we can get back to the business of, well, the business of the NFL and not virus-related. 5 years, $135 million extension, and the identity of that defense and team going forward is a big picture of a defensive end.
Yeah, absolutely.
Tiny shoulder pads.
Him and Melvin together are, man, that's what they're looking for, that 1-2 punch. And they've been kind of, you know, really molded them off what the Broncos had with DeMarcus and Vaughn over there. And, you know, those two guys, when on the field and they're healthy, they are a ton to deal with.
Hey, Jay, all right, I need you to make me feel good now because I spent all weekend going over the Jamal Adams trade from many different ways, looking at all the first-round picks from the 10s that the Jets don't have. You've had a couple of days to break this down. Certainly the haul from the Seahawks is pretty good. What's your biggest takeaway from this trade?
Here's the thing. There's been, you know, every time somebody's traded for a couple number ones, we go, oh, my gosh. Right? We saw it with, obviously, Khalil Mack and Tunsil and guys like that. But, man, it's so hit or miss, those first-round picks. And as you feel, I know from the Seahawks, All right, I talked to John Snyder about it, you know, yesterday. That, I mean, he has, I think Jamal and J.J. Watt have more pass breakups than anybody else over the, you know, last couple of years. You know, the, what he could do at the line of scrimmage, but he's a tone setter on that defense. But the thing is about the Seahawks, they're always trading out of the first round. They're always getting down. Where John Schneider strikes is in those later picks, right? And that's where he gets the Russell Wilsons, Richard Shermans, and Cam Chancellors, and Bobby Wagners, and he's got it over and over and over and over. And, man, one thing, if you go and look at John Schneider's track record and what he's done, and a lot of these moves, and trained for Dwayne Browns, and, I mean, he's just, it's over and over. He's been really maybe the most successful general manager in the NFL in the last 11 or 12 years. If you go look at his draft picks all together, so even though it seems like crazy, it's so much to do, I almost have a hard time questioning what he does because it's always panned out.
Yeah,
you can follow if that makes sense.
Yeah, it's worked. It's not, not
right,
for the
so,
Jets.
So I got but, one more you know. For you about training camps, Jay. I mean, year after year, you've regaled us with stories and practical jokes and visiting all your friends. What's the game plan for this year? How are you going to pull it off?
I'm not going.
You got moles behind the scenes?
He's not going. I think.
Well, I know he's not going.
Two years ago.
Yeah.
Oh, there we go. We lost you there for a second, Jay. Go ahead, buddy. Oh, we lost you after you said you weren't going.
Yeah, I'm not going. It's you know, it's just, I think, smarter. And there's just so many protocols you have to do because I go to a different camp every day. I'm going to have to get tested every day. I'm going to be on planes every day. Just didn't make any sense. You know, I am. A couple years ago, Fox gave me a bus, and I got to take my rescue pit with me. She drove all around. Man, that was the best. It was awesome. I wish I could do it. This is just, look, nothing is going to be normal this year. And that lack of normalcy has got to be our new normal, if that makes any sense. That one probably doesn't make any sense.
No, that was right on.
Because I was looking forward to you telling us stories about how you're taking your new pit bull and like the joke when you did yoga in Thomas Dimitrov's office, you were going to have people taking care of your dog while you were doing things, and that was going to be your big practical joke.
I absolutely did. And the thing too is she would actually, when I left the bus, she would actually climb in the driver's seat because she'd be waiting because she has separation anxiety, and she's literally sitting in the bus seat and just, man, it was like the old Spuds McKenzie commercials. But she's been, everybody knows my pit, Alma. She is, man, because we've had so many players come in and out Unbreakable, and she's just sit up there at the front. She's the sweetest thing on the planet. So that was great. That little rolling bus ride was the best, man. Fox, they hooked me up.
He's on Twitter, at Jay Glazer. That is at Jay Glazer, the website, vetsandplayers.org. All the great stuff he is doing there. You can check out Vets and Players on Twitter as well, at Vets and Players. Jay, as always, buddy, appreciate it, my friend. We'll talk to you soon. Be good.
All right, man. Take care.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
We talked with Jay Glazer a few minutes ago who brought up the fact that, look, we've seen some players opt out of the NFL season today. Dante Hightower, Patrick Chung of the Patriots, Eddie Goldman, sorry, Harmon, Devin Funchess, players who have already decided, hey, for my family's sake, for health and safety, I'm opting out of this season. And Jay said there's going to be many others. There's going to be many other players we're going to see that opt out that don't feel that they are being taken care of. Now, I'm going to throw this at you because after this, after Trevor Lawrence was trending today, I said, okay, I know where this is going.
As soon as
Dante Hightower and Patrick Chung started trending, they were opting out. Suddenly, it's the Patriots tanking for Trevor Lawrence was everywhere, right? This is the big plan for the Patriots all along was to tank this season for Trevor Lawrence. Now, I'm not saying the Patriots are tanking, right? I'm not saying that. But if the Patriots go 2-14 and they wind up picking number one overall and they get Trevor Lawrence, aren't we going to look back and say, oh, the evidence was all right there in front of our eyes? All right, no activity in free agency at all. Not bringing in anybody. We'll get to Cam Newton in a second. Not trying to make the team better. Kicking Tom Brady out of the door, giving him an offer that you knew he was going to say no to. Not even really giving an offer, just giving the parameters of the money. They wanted Tom Brady out. What do they do in the draft? They trade out of the first round. They draft for the future. Their first pick is an NAIA D2 safety out of Lenoir Rhyne. All right, so this is they're not trying to get better. You can't tell me the Patriots tried to get better in the offseason. They didn't. Then you could say, but they signed Cam Newton. They gave Cam Newton no money. They gave Cam Newton no money, and then they freed up a bunch of money like 4 days later. All right, that tells you where they think with Cam Newton. Newton is the plausible deniability that the Patriots have about, well, we signed Cam Newton, we tried to win, so we'll know. So they go 2-14, we'll look back and go, oh, yeah, everything was right there. Not trying to get better in the offseason, letting Tom Brady walk out the door, trading out of the first round, drafting projects, getting Cam Newton when many teams, look, if he still had a lot left in the tank, other teams would have picked him up. If they thought he was going to be really healthy, other teams would have picked him up. We would have been sitting out for as long as he was before the Patriots said, okay, come play with us. All right, that's their plausible deniability as to why we're not really tanking the season. We just picked up a former MVP at quarterback. But if the Patriots go 2-14, we'll look back and say, oh, all the evidence was there in front of us. Everything was there. Not that this is why Hightower and Patrick Chung opted out, but this is the jumping off point for the discussion of all the other things the Patriots have done, and now they're losing two more really good players that Belichick has counted on for years. How are they going to win games? We'll see it all there.
Well, and you also have the fact that you've got executives within the league, anonymous executives at this moment, but thinking Belichick's up to something because you had a rash of Patriots players opting out. Now, obviously, you can talk about it in terms of salary cap changes, right, and affording them a little bit more money. You know, one of the things with the opt-outs is also you got guys that have made cash and have won titles already. So it's also a, all right, I'm in a pretty good place. And maybe there's a long-term plan, as you are alluding to, that the hoodie is sitting there the whole time and he's cloned himself like Palpatine and ready for the next run. Sorry, spoiler alert for those that may have missed that point in the last Star Wars movie. But, yeah, it certainly does lend itself to a lot of conspiracy theories. And as a Jets fan, no doubt you had your tinfoil hat on immediately.
I try. We'll look back and say, oh, yeah, it was right there in front of us the entire time. Again, not saying they're tanking, but when they go 2-14.
Still 9.5, buddy.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
When this season started, there was the large understanding that the Astros players are going to get thrown at. It's going to happen. Going to be revenge for the sign-stealing scandal. And, yeah, I knew that was going to happen, but also other things were going to happen. Players are going to slide hard into bases. You were going to see other teams stealing signs blatantly at times. You were going to see teams running up the score. There's different ways to get even with the Astros. You're going to see that over the course of this 60 games. Well, enter Joe Kelly, who decided, I care not for your subtle ways of getting even. I'm just going to do whatever the hell I want to.
Hey, that's Dodger legend Joe Kelly now.
You know, Joe Kelly becomes a legend everywhere. Like, who is it that he fought when he threw it when he was a member of the Red Sox and he threw at him and the guy was deciding whether or not to charge the mound and Joe Kelly did the, come on, you want to fight, come on. And then, you know, the Red Sox loved him after that. I forget who that was, and the guy charged him out, and they wound up fighting. But Kelly did that to somebody.
You're right. He threw at somebody. He's got that little bit of...
Yeah, and then he did that. Come on, you want to fight?
Austin is
come
one
on.
That's coming up as the...
Yeah, that sounds right. Tyler Austin sounds right.
Yeah, the bench is cleared twice in that game. Yeah.
Yeah, so, he becomes a legend. So now Joe Kelly's a Dodger legend. Well, why? Well, let me tell you. So the Dodgers score 5 runs. They go up against the Astros 5-2 in the bottom of the 6th inning. So Joe Kelly goes 3-0 to Alex Bregman, who was one of the big players involved in the sign-stealing scandal. Between he and Altuve, they've gotten most of the, even though it was other players, they've gotten most of the notoriety for it. So it's a 3-0 count. There's nobody on. There's one out. Joe Kelly probably figures, what the hell? This is the time. He throws a fastball at 96 that goes behind Alex Bregman all the way to the backstop. This is, if you say, what's a purpose pitch? What does it mean when a guy wants to send a message? They would show you this video and say, this is what it means. This is not a guy losing control to one. He throws a fastball that has late breaking, like a dovetail action to it where it dives to the right a bit. I mean, this is a fastball that goes way far beyond Bregman, and then it kind of curves at the end a little bit off to the side. Hits the backstop. Bregman doesn't even look. He takes his, you know, takes the batting gloves off, puts his glove down, or puts his bat down, walks to first base. And this wasn't a I'm not looking at you, blank you moment. This was one moment where Bregman, it looked like he's going into his head, oh my God, that was really close. This dude just threw a 96-mile-an-hour fastball behind me that went all the way to the backstop on the fly. I mean, I could really, really get hurt. That's kind of what I got from Bregman going down to first base. Of course, Joe Kelly has just got the Joe Kelly look on his face, like, yeah, blank you, man, whatever. You guys were stealing signs. My team lost the World Series. Yeah, okay, yeah, blank you, because you guys were doing it. But that was, I'll tell you, first thing is, that was a dangerous pitch from Joe Kelly. This was not something that was below the shoulders. It was on the hip. This was high at his head, beyond it. That was a dangerous pitch from Joe Kelly. And I can see where Bregman is kind of standing up going, okay, let me make sure my knees stop knocking, because that really wasn't cool. Stealing signs, I get it, and guys got to understand they're going to get thrown at because of this is going to happen. But, man, you're going above the shoulders behind somebody's head. Whew, that is really dangerous.
Yeah, he comes up and in, and it just starts to sail and rise, and then it has that tail to it. The replay, the wide-eyed look from Bregman certainly tells the tale as you relay it there. You know, plunk a guy in the ribs, go ribs or lower, you're all good, right? The old rule of thumb, once you start getting up around the above the shoulders and neck, we've gone into, all right, you now have become the villain for that at bat. Now, later, what he does with Carlos Correa will make him a Dodger legend. Now, this ended up just being ball four and a quick trip to the base. You know, base is empty. You know, it puts a runner on first, and the purpose pitch has been delivered. But certainly, he reacts differently to it. We may have a whole other story developing from Dodgers Astros.
Yeah, so what happens after is then he winds up getting into it with Carlos Correa, who he throws inside to. Now, there are runners on base at this point. So now at this point, it is Joe Kelly. So is he still really throwing at guys? What is he doing? Because now the Astros have runners on, and you clearly don't want to do that and lose the game. This is why up 5-2, nobody on a 3-0 count. You're putting a guy on, that's one of the safer places to do it. Now, normally you would like, if a pitcher's going to do something like that, to wait till there's two outs and not nobody out. But, again, Joe Kelly. So Joe Kelly winds up doing this and throwing behind the head of Bregman. So then there's a fielder's choice. Yuli Gurriel walks, and then Correa strikes out swinging, and Correa's not happy because Kelly throws inside to him on a pitch. And at the end of the inning, FS1 kind of cut away, so we got to see it after it came back from break. Both benches empty. Correa goes over. They're all yelling at each other. Joe Kelly walks off the mound, and he kind of sticks out his tongue at the Astros bench.
Oh, yeah, he does the full pouty face.
He does the pouty face sticking out his tongue, so he becomes a Dodger legend. A Dodger legend in the last 5 minutes because of that. Now, all order is restored, except you can hear on the broadcast, this is where having no fans is a big boon for us, you could hear somebody saying, we couldn't tell who it was, but you could hear somebody yell, hey, Kelly, get back on the blankin' mound. And you can't tell who said it, but somebody in it says that. And normally, we wouldn't be able to hear that at all, because if you're talking about Kelly throwing it at Bregman, everybody would be booing. The Astros crowd would be intense. And after the inning is over, if he walks off the way he does and sticks out his tongue, and then the bench is empty, the crowd would be going crazy. You wouldn't hear that. But you got to hear somebody like Kelly get black on the blankin' mound.
Yeah, it's... It is something next level, right? So you go back to, he was on the Red Sox team that lost to the Astros, right? Not on the Dodger team that got robbed in the World Series, but it's, you know, the 6 degrees of separation. And really, it's kind of funny when you know that Major League Baseball is like, hey, they're gonna do what they're going to do. Just don't let it get too out of control, where he's throwing above, behind, around the... well, up the torsos of all these hitters, and he still gets to walk off the mound after striking Correa out, pouty face and all, no warnings, not getting thrown out, nothing else. It is 2020. It is a bizarro world No question about it.
He throws one over Correa's head. I mean, look, I get it's Joe Kelly, and he broke a window in his house.
Yeah, he did.
You know, practicing pitching.
Well, you know what? You got to set that up, right? So that you did that early enough, so your reputation is you can get a little loose.
Yeah, true. That's how it goes. I mean, you can. But, I mean, you can't tell me that Joe Kelly, if people are going to want to defend Joe Kelly now, and here's, oh, Kelly, look, he couldn't throw his fastball for a strike. Yeah, no, I get all that. Yes, I get Joe Kelly. I understand. I always come back to, yes, it is Joe Kelly. But you don't walk off the mound the way you do after that inning, doing that, razzing the Astros, unless that was part of your plan. At least the Bregman part of it was. And maybe other parts of it were too, but you don't walk away. You don't walk off the mound that way unless that was part of your plan. Right? If it wasn't, it was, oh, man, I'm sorry I did that. I, let me walk off. Not me. No. He decided to walk off with attitude. So you know it was part of his plan.
Yeah, I now want him as part of WrestleMania next year here in Los Angeles. If he's going to make faces and taunt people like that. I think as long as we could work on his mic game, I think we're good.
I got a feeling Joe Kelly's probably got a decent mic game, but do we need
it? I got a feeling you're right.
Just come out firing fastballs at people and no one would care. Hey, look at Joe Kelly. Whoa, he's throwing stuff at people in the stands in the audience. Oh my goodness. Doesn't matter if he could talk or not. And we got to really amp up his glasses too. I mean,
they've got to go to Ricky Vaughn or even to Elton John status.
Oh,
to really take it next level.
He's got the big feathered glasses and the big ultra bright colors on there. He just
I don't want to go on with you like that. Take that.
And TJ, Astros players still standing in the box until Kelly knocks them down. TJ. So this is what we have right now. Look, the bottom line is this. Kelly throws a really dangerous pitch. You can't throw above the shoulders, throwing that kind of heat behind a guy's head. I mean, you're really that's not safe. But there is no way Kelly wasn't doing it to try to get even with the Astros. And you know what? The Astros are going to have to live with this. You think this is something? Guess what? It's going to be an odd 60-game experience for you where it may not be every game, but every couple of games, every third game, something like this is going to happen. And the Astros are going to, unfortunately, with the unwritten rules of baseball, are going to have to take it. They're just going to take it because they made a mockery of the rules of Major League Baseball, the real rules, by deciding to steal signs, winning a World Series because of it, and thumping their chest how great they are. So this is something, you know what, you want to do that, you got to pay eventually. And now you're going to pay, and now the Astros are going to pay. This is exactly what's going to happen all season long. And it's not going to be every game. You know, it'll be once a series, or it'll be once every 4 or 5 days, depending on how the games go. Because, look, there could be a team that walks in to say, listen, we want revenge on the Astros. But you're playing a 2-1 game, a 5-4 game, a game that goes extra innings at 6-6. There's no room for it because you got to pick your spot for it. You can't just decide to do it. And I can't believe Kelly picks nobody out, and I'm going to put it with the first guy. But that's what he did. And at least it was a situation where it wasn't so dangerous. Now, the rest of the inning happens and unfolds the way it does. Joe Kelly. But, you know, this is kind of how you're going to see it. And it's going to be odd. It may not be. We could see it 2 days in a row. We could see it once, not see it for another week. Then we could see it once every couple of days. It just depends on what the game situations are going to dictate. But this is the first night, the first time we're seeing this. And now we're going to see it on through. And especially with the Dodgers, who lost the World Series twice to teams who were convicted of sign-stealing scandals in Major League Baseball. Yeah, they're going to feel a little ornery, and I completely get it.
It is opening night once again. Woo. Let's go.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
So the Astros-Dodgers tonight. Dodgers lead it 5-2 as the Astros bat in the bottom of the ninth inning, and I can't wait for the post-game comments from Joe Kelly, from the Dodgers, from the Astros, after the drama in the sixth inning in which Joe Kelly throws a fastball at 96 miles an hour behind Alex Bregman's head, throws one up and over the head of Carlos Correa. After the inning is over, the Astros don't score, benches empty in what would pass for a social distancing 2020 brawl, in which the players don't get more than 6 feet from one another before they're yelling at each other. But lost in all that drama that we broke down, is this, and this is stunning. I didn't think this was mathematically possible. Again, I don't like to give you a lot of stats on the show because it's hard to remember and you're thinking about numbers.
Only when we do fantasy.
Yes, yeah. Well, those, but then it's fantasy points. How many fantasy points for so-and-so? 27. Oh, my God, he killed me. But Joe Kelly in that sixth inning, which involved him throwing behind Bregman's head, walking him on four pitch. It was a 3-0 pitch. He throws behind his head. All the drama of that inning. Joe Kelly threw 18 pitches in that inning. 18 pitches.
That's operational efficiency in terms of garnering hate and love.
He threw 18 pitches, which is, you know, just a little bit more than an average inning. Okay, I mean, you know, 18 pitches is not, you know, a little bit more than an average inning. 18 pitches. Seven of them were strikes. He threw seven strikes out of 18 pitches. One at-bat was a strikeout because he actually struck Correa out, and he didn't allow a run. Somehow he throws 18 pitches in an inning, throws seven strikes, and doesn't allow a run. I didn't think that was mathematically possible. I thought that there's no way. There's no way you can do that. Throw 11 balls, seven strikes, and not allow a run, but that's what Joe Kelly did.
Effectively wild is what it is, because then he also has plausible deniability terms of purpose pitches. Now, I have to ask you, the way the Astros reacted, both Bregman, look, we talked about it a little bit earlier, ball goes up, the tail, everything to it, pops back up on his feet, the eyes are wide like, whoa, that could have gotten ugly, and takes his base. Carlos Correa, yeah, there's some words, and we've had some fun with the Joe Kelly meme. It's going to be the meme that shown around the world. I'm
still the Joe Kelly
tongue.
The pooch lip.
The tongue out.
Yeah.
Like he's five. So that'll make a big deal. But the fact that neither one actually went and it came to blows, either Bregman or Correa, do you think that speaks more to, all right, we deserve this and we got to wear it, or we know the penalties will be far more severe than what happened to us after we were caught cheating?
I think it's everything. I think they knew going into the season, all right, we're going to get thrown at. How do we respond? And what they probably came around was, okay, if someone gets hurt, we're going to go at everybody because we're not going to allow that to happen. But we have to understand this is going to happen the early part of the season. And I don't think anybody would have gone out of the dugout if it wasn't for Joe Kelly doing that, you know, pushing his lip out and yawning. I don't think that would have happened. But the combination of that and the fastball being behind Bregman's head, where the Astros got to come out and say, don't throw up my head, don't throw up my head, because I'm sure that's what a lot of them were saying when they weren't yelling, get back on the blank and mound to Kelly. I am sure that was the reason why they came out. I don't think this was, okay, we're going to put a stop to this right away, because they know what's going to happen. And I think they are not comfortable, but understanding and acceptable that this is how their experience is going to be this year. But just once in a while, we got to let you know that, okay, that's not cool. And the combination of Kelly and his actions and throwing the ball behind Bregman's head were probably two of the real, okay, we want to go out and say something here because certain things we're not going to allow to. I'll understand it, but, you know, certain things you don't do. Even when Chase Utley, okay, when the Mets tried for 2 years, again with Chase Utley, for the dirty slide into second base that broke Ruben Tejada's leg in the playoffs. Right? Even Chase Utley, as dirty of a player as he was, he even said after, look, I know I'm going to get thrown at, just don't throw up my head. Like, I understand you're going to throw at me and hit me, just don't throw up my head. He understands the unwritten rules of baseball, gets that. It's why he's going to wind up being a manager someday. But even he knew, look, I'm going to get thrown at, just don't throw up my head. I get it, I'll take it, and I get the chance for retribution. All of these things, don't throw up my head. So players know that, right? The Astros aren't walking in saying, oh, this is ridiculous. No, they know what's going to happen, but just so things don't get completely out of control, I just want to throw that reminder at you. That's kind of what I took as the Astros coming out, what they did in the benches clearing with them and the Dodgers.
And just let it simmer. We'll see what the next word is. I'm sure Major League Baseball was on that bat phone immediately going, guys, take it and let's go. Let that be that. They'll issue a statement tomorrow, I'm sure, about it. Joe Kelly gets some minor fine or something just for being an instigator. You know, just all in the court of public opinion and trying to just make nice of, see, we're on top of it. It's not going to get out of control, and we're going to protect players from themselves. But the whole time I see Joe Kelly making that face, I immediately was transported back to Saturday Night Live in the Sinatra group. when you had Phil Hartman as Frank Sinatra.
Yeah.
And Sting as Billy Idol, and he's doing that. He goes, hey, what's with the sneering crap? Why do you do that to the people?
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.